No sign of them, whoever they were, the Earl of Corus said harshly. We're still tearing that whole part of the city apart, but they must have had their escape route planned well in advance.
Is that all you can say? Sir Tarrell Lecter demanded.
The Earl of Tartarian sat beside Anvil Rock at the conference table, as if Hector's top military advisers were closing ranks against his spymaster. Whether or not that was actually what they were doing, the shared unhappiness of Coruscant's navy and army commanders was obvious, and Corus's mouth tightened.
What would you prefer, that I spin fancy tales to sound more efficient? We don't have a single witness who actually saw them. The only man who did see them is dead, which means we don't even have a description of them, and the obelisks were still in the room they fired from. They simply dropped them and walked away, and the room itself is part of a counting house office suite that stood empty for months. No one saw them arrive, no one saw them fire the shots, and no one was watching for them when they left. There's no way for us to tie anyone to the weapons, even if we'd had any suspects in custody.
Calmly, Philip, Hector said, turning back from the window where he'd stood gazing out over the harbor. His left forearm was in a plaster cast, supported by a sling, and despite his words, there was a tightness around his mouth which owed nothing to the pain of the broken arm.
How do you expect me to be calm about this? Corus demanded. They came within inches of killing you today, Hector. Don't you understand that?
Believe me, I understand it only too well. Hector's voice was suddenly harder, colder.
And I want that guardsman's, Andrae's, family taken care of. He not only died to save my life, but as you just pointed out, he was also the only man in the entire detail who even saw them. There aren't enough men like that to go around. There never are. So you see to it that his family knows I'm grateful, knows they'll never want for anything.
Of course I will, Corus said more quietly.
Good.
Hector turned back to the window, then looked up as the chamber door opened, and a tall young woman with Hector's hair and her dead mother's hazel eyes came quickly through it.
Father!
The newcomer wore riding clothes. Her hair was windblown, and her eyes were dark, intent, in a worried face.
I just got back to the palace. They just told me. Are you all right?
Fine, Iris, he said, reaching out his undamaged right arm. A broken arm, but aside from that, I'm fine, I promise. Princess Iris let her father's good arm settle around her shoulders, but she also leaned back against it, gazing up into his face with searching eyes. He didn't know exactly what she was looking for, but whatever it was, she seemed to see it, and her taut shoulders relaxed at least partially.
Yes, she said softly. Yes, you are.
She put her own arms around him then, squeezing tightly, and pressed her face into his shoulder. He felt the tension flowing out of her and pressed his lips into her hair.
She's grown so tall, he thought. So much like her mother. Where did all the years go?
Better? He asked gently after a moment, and she drew a deep breath and nodded.
Better,
she confirmed, and released him and turned to face the other three men in the chamber.